Amen. John's good with words. You should probably write a book or something, huh? You know, I'm going to share one of my favorite movies based on a book, which I think this is one of the few times that the movie is better than the book. But that's my personal preference. It's one of my favorite movies called The Princess Bride. Now, in this movie, if you haven't seen it, Princess Buttercup, she's kidnapped by mercenaries. I'm not going to spoil it, so don't worry. And no matter how hard they try to get away with her, the dread pirate Roberts is following them. He follows them no matter what. They go across the seas. They have to face the eel-infested waters. They have to climb the cliffs of insanity. And over again, he follows them. He crosses the waters with them. He climbs the cliffs of insanity. He fights this master swordsman. He brawls against Andre the Giant. And every time the Sicilian Vizzini looks behind him, sees that he's still following him, and he says, of course, "Inconceivable." You see, he couldn't understand how this guy could keep on following him and following him and following him. And sometimes we do that same way. When we see certain people following Christ, we're like, how are they so close to Christ? How are they so passionate for him? And sometimes we see them and we think, inconceivable. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I felt a lot like Peter. Like I've completely failed, fallen flat on my face. I've gone through my walk as a Christian and think, what is wrong with you? And sometimes we just fall flat on our face. And I don't think anyone understood this better than Simon Peter, right? You see, just so you can understand, I know I wanted to show that video to kind of give a glimpse into what happened. Because I want you to understand where we're going to be reading from, just to understand this a little better. It's been over a week since Easter morning. It had been close to 2 weeks since Peter declared his love for the Savior, and he said, "Lord, I love you more than any of these other disciples. I'm just that way." It had been close to 2 weeks where he said, "Lord, I would never, ever deny you." And yet still also within that 2 weeks, frightened that a little girl would find out that he followed Christ, he sweared and said, "I don't know him." And then Jesus made eye contact across the courtyard. Imagine that. You see, Jesus had directed Peter and the other seven disciples that were with him. Remember, they're out in the boat fishing. Jesus is going out there and, you know, he sees them and he says, "Hey, cast your nets over on the other side." And these other men, you know, remember, these guys are fishermen. And it's a boat. Wait, so cast just on the other side of where we were just fishing. Are you serious? Whatever. Can't catch anything. Might as well not catch anything on this side. And they cast it over. And they're amazed. Kind of like that video. I wonder if Peter's like, "Oh, it's got to be him. It's got to be him." So, of course, like Peter, you know, he couldn't walk on the water this time. I'm sure he wished he could just like run across. He jumps in the water and he's like, "I got to get there before him. I have to see him." And so he goes out there to meet him. And when he arrives on the beach, Jesus is already there cooking up their breakfast, waiting for the group, and they sit down together. And this is where we come into our passage in John 21. It says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, Do you love me more than these? Now, one of the reasons why I have this up here, I want you to understand the differences between the love that Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is saying right here, he says, do you love me? Do you agapao me? Do you love me with an unconditional love that has no strings attached? Do you love me with a sacrificial, a godly love? And so Peter says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I phileo you. Now, this isn't like a phileo fish, okay? This phileo that he's talking about is he's talking about Philadelphia, a brotherly love, okay? And so he says, Lord, you know that I love you like a brother. So he goes, he says, feed my lambs. And so he says to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agapo me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that I love you like a brother. He said to him, tend my sheep. And then he said to him the third time, and I wonder if, like, while Peter was swimming out there, if he was like, I hope he doesn't bring it up. I hope he doesn't bring it up. I hope he doesn't bring it up. Then I just imagine when Jesus is asking the third time, Peter's like, oh, he brought it up. Simon, son of John, do you even love me like a brother? Do you even phileo me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you even love me like a brother? Do you phileo me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I phileo you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that today, as we hear your word, as we dig into what you have for us, Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. Lord, that you would help us to love you with the love of Christ, that we would love you like Jesus loved the Father, that we would be passionate in pursuit over you. God, I pray that you would help us to love you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Help us to get past ourselves. I pray these in your name. Amen. One of the reasons why I wanted to share this is because, you know, I do want to, you know, talk to our graduates a little and say, you know, look, this is, if you want to be successful in your relationship with Jesus Christ, then this is what it's going to take. And sometimes we're going to fall flat on our face. Sometimes we're going to just crash and burn. Sometimes we're going to get so far away from God that we're not going to know where we started in the first place. We want to remember that first love, but sometimes, too often, we forget because our sin gets in the way. And this story is such a powerful thing because there's so much that you can dig out of it. You could talk about how the different ways that Jesus says, well, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs. You know, you could talk about these things. You could even talk about how he's saying, hey, do you love me with an unconditional love? Do you love me with this brotherly love? Because I think what Jesus is trying to do is Jesus is trying to help Peter get out of his failure and learn what it means to love the Lord with everything that he's got, with that agapo, with that unconditional love. I think Jesus is trying to help Peter move that, to show him what it means to love God with everything that he's got. And one day he will understand. But you know what? That's not even the thing that grasped me when I was going over this. When you actually look at the story, if you notice, go back to the verse right before it, if you don't mind. When Jesus is talking to him, he says, Simon, do you love me? Now, this is a huge thing. Sometimes we don't understand, but I believe that Jesus is intentional with all of the words that he said. When he spoke, people listened. When he said things, it was with a reason. And so right now, he's talking to Simon, and he's like, hey, I know I called you Peter, but right now I'm talking to Simon. And in Mark 3:16, it says to whom he gave the name Peter. He appointed the 12 and Simon, but he changed his name to Peter. Because if you remember, he said, on that rock, I'm going to build the church, okay? And typically when I think part of the reason why, I could be wrong, but part of the reason why I think is that he wanted to talk of, you know, with Peter. Whenever he talked to Peter, he was intentional about the work that he was appointing him. He says, you are Peter, you are my rock, I'm building, you know, this is your position. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is your goal. And yet Simon, when he talks to Simon, Peter, in this time, he says, look, I know that I gave you this job. I know I gave you this position, but you know what? I love you as a person too. And I know you think you failed, but I still love you. You see, when he was acting in a leadership role, he was being bold. He would proclaim to Christ to thousands. Then he was Peter. And this is Matthew 16:15-8. He said to them, but who do you say I am? You remember that case where they're like, hey, some say you're this, some say you're this. And Jesus is like, well, who do you say that I am? And this is important because all of us need to, at one point, understand, hey, who is Jesus to me? And Simon Peter, he replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And in this one statement, in this one verse, we have Simon the individual and Peter, the one who would be used to build the church. Okay? What Jesus is trying to say, do you, Simon, the guy that I met all these years ago, the one that I said, first, follow me, do you love me? I'm not talking about the responsibility that I laid upon your back. I'm not talking about any of that. I am asking you as the individual, do you love me? See, I think one of Jesus' concerns was that he wanted to mend that relationship because Simon, Peter, he crashed and burned that night. I mean, think about this. He said, I will follow you. I'll never deny you. I love you more than any of these. Now I want you to think of your own personal failures. And sometimes this is the hardest thing to do because we don't like to dwell on that, right? Where maybe at one point you said, Jesus, I will follow you. And maybe the next day fell flat on your face. I think Jesus is wanting Peter to get up and start running the race. Now, John doesn't mention anywhere in this verse, but later on, basically, Jesus is still talking. And somewhere between the verse 15 and 18, they've gotten up and they're walking together. We know that the initial questioning was in front of the group because he's like, hey, do you love me more than these? Than these guys that are sitting here? But then it becomes a little bit more personal. Jesus and Peter are talking, and Jesus tells Peter how he's going to die. He said, hey, one day you will love me with that unconditional, that sacrificial love. You'll give up your life because you followed me. And of course, you know, John, he's being the one that Jesus loved. It's funny because we went to this Wednesday to have combined services in West Columbia, and this is what Colby preached on as well. And I was like, oh, thanks, Colby, because this is exactly what I was talking about on Sunday. But over and over again, if you realize that John calls himself as the one that, the disciple that Jesus loved, humble John, right? And so John is following Jesus and Peter, and Peter's like, hey, well, what about that guy? How is he going to die? Because I want to know how he dies, because, you know, He says that, you know, that you love him more, but I know it's me, right? And so Jesus basically tells him, hey, it's none of your business. But what he does tell him, he says this, follow me. It doesn't matter how he dies. It doesn't matter if he stays alive until I come back. What matters is you, Peter. I want you to follow me. Let me tell you, God doesn't call each of us to do the same thing. For some of us, he calls us in our different areas. My father-in-law used to always say, as a preacher, I get paid to be good. Yeah, you know the rest, right? You guys are good for nothing, right? Is that what? But we all have our own mission fields. We all have areas. If Jesus has called you into a personal relationship, then he has called you to follow him. Whether that's at your work or in your home, sitting here outside these doors, we are all called on mission. We are all called to passionately pursue him and love him with all that we've got. He calls us. And graduates, let me tell you, God has called each of you in some form or some fashion. He hasn't called you to sit on your butt and do absolutely nothing. You know what? He can even call you to be a missionary on your Xbox or your PlayStation, basketball courts. You see, we're called to be a light no matter where we go. So while you're going, make disciples. And what God is calling you to do, he's not calling anyone else to do. I mean, think about this. Who is it that God has placed in your life that he said, hey, I want you to share to this person? You know, there's some people that you guys can reach that I will never be able to reach. But I can guarantee every one of us in this place, we know someone that doesn't know Christ. We know someone that needs salvation. And so what are we going to do about it? Do we think just sitting here in the service is going to be enough? No, it's not. Just coming here and singing his praises, is that enough? No, it's not. When Jesus says, follow me, it's active. We're pursuing him with all that we've got. We are trying to be like him. Yes, we will stumble because the way to follow him is hard and it's difficult. But you know what? That moment when that person that you've been sharing with comes to Christ, it's amazing. And hopefully we're reminded that it's not through really, you know, yes, we have worked hard. We have tried to help them to pursue Christ. But in truth, it's not us. As he said, it's all about him. It's not about us. The first thing they ever said to Peter, the last thing, he says, follow me. Follow me. So how do we follow him? I'm going to take us back to the scenario from earlier. When Jesus gave Simon his name, he says, hey, you're no longer Simon, you're Peter now. He says, I'm gonna build my church on the rock. And of course, you know, if you remember the situation, he says, hey, I'm changing your name. This is amazing. This is a great high. This is just an awesome experience. I'm building the church on your name. And then Jesus says, but let me tell you, I'm going to die. And of course, Peter is always the on fire. No way, you can't do that. No, there's no way that you can die. Come on, Jesus, that's ridiculous. And Jesus responds by, he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. So once again, Peter's like, yes, on this church you're going to build the rock, all right, and then not even 5 minutes later falls flat on his face. And just so you know, I will tell you, he isn't calling Peter the spawn of the devil. I mean, can you imagine? I think Peter sometimes gets the bad rap, you know, hey, that's the disciple that was basically Satan. So, but he says this, if just to let you know, in reference to the devil, Lucifer, the light bringer, is the name. Satan is his title, if you want to so to speak. Basically, Satan means one who opposes. And so anyone who opposes the way of Christ could be considered Satan. And so what he's saying, he says, no, what you are saying, because remember, Jesus was probably like, no, trust me, I don't want to go. But I can't think like that. I can't think like that, Peter. So Peter's simply going against what Jesus knows what has to be done. And Jesus tells his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? So if we're going to follow Jesus, what does it look like? This is what it looks like right here. If you're going to follow Jesus, first we need to deny ourselves. It's not about you. This is one thing that I try to keep in my head over and over again, because sometimes when we get in the way, this is when relationships start to crumble. This is when difficulties in the church start to rise. When we think it's about what type of music we prefer or what makes us feel comfortable during the service, it's not about us. It's about seeking God's glory and not ours. This means that sometimes you may do an awesome, amazing job and no one notices it, and that means you don't need to go, hey, look what I did, because it's not about you. And sometimes we get hurt when people don't recognize the hard work that we've done. And I know that a lot of you do a lot of hard work in the church. It's amazing. But let me tell you, there's sometimes where people forget. But who are you trying to please, the people or God? Sometimes we won't get credit, and that's okay. Because it's not about us, it's about Him. There are going to be times where you don't get along with people. In a church? I'll just let that sit there. But there are going to be people that don't like you. There are going to be people that you don't like. But for the glory of God, put your own selfish desires to the side and focus on Christ. The second thing is this, let's pick up our cross. Now, sometimes I think it'd be a lot easier to carry our cross if it had like wheels on it. I'm just saying. But let me tell you, this may mean that you have to get your hands dirty serving God. Now, I'm not saying that you have to sin to serve God, no. What I'm saying is sometimes you might have to actually serve. Sometimes you may actually have to do something than just show up on Sundays and Wednesdays. But you know what? Carrying your cross, pick up your cross, we think of it as struggles that we have to go through. You know, oh, this is my cross that I have to bear, right? But let me tell you, in truth, what Jesus is talking about this is he says, hey, when you're serving me, be ready to die. Be ready to have yourself killed. And not yourself as in one word, as in two words, yourself killed. Because yes, there are some disciples that give up their lives for Christ. And maybe someday you might have to. We're fortunate that we live in a country where we have freedom. But you know what? It may not always be that way. So I want to encourage you. You know, we think, you know, oh, it's our struggles, it's our disabilities or our difficulties. Yeah, you'll have those. Because I think that God also gives us these difficulties in our life so that we can better shine His light. But what he's talking about is death. Are you willing to die for him? To love him so much that you say, you know what? I will die for you. And not just like Peter. I'll die for you, Lord. Let me run. Okay, I got this. It's okay. But really die for him, Peter, the next time. Are you willing to gain your life by losing it? I mean, because if he died for us, the least that we can do is live for him, right? Third thing is this, follow him. Seems simple. He says, you must follow me. That's what Christians are, right? Originally, it was intended as an insult. They were like, hey, what do we call these people that are following this Jesus Christ? I don't know, we'll call them Christians, which basically means little Christs. It's, I mean, they will be so embarrassed. And then they're like, no, that's perfect. I'll take it. I will wear that badge with honor. I will gladly be a little Christ because we are called to live the life that he's lived. We're called to love the people that he loved. We're supposed to love the things that he loves, hate the things that he hates, and follow him. Now, a lot of times we see other Christians, we see the way that they passionately pursue, and they say, inconceivable, right? Like, how can they follow him so passionately? But you know that word, you keep on using it. I don't think it means what you think it means. Because inconceivable means I can't even wrap my head around it. What Christ gives us is simple directions. It's easy to say, hard to do. We can wrap our heads around it, but maybe it's a little bit harder to wrap our lives around it. We can follow Christ. There are times where we'll struggle, where we'll stumble, or we'll mess up. But much in the same way with Peter, Jesus encourages us to get up and to keep on pursuing. Jesus says, follow me. And that's for each and every one of us. If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, this means that we follow him with all that we've got. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's some of us here that maybe it's been so long since we've followed him. Or maybe for some of us, we're like, you know what? I have stumbled. I've fallen. I'm so far away from God that I don't even remember what it means to follow him anymore. I want to encourage you, get in his word. And some of us are pursuing him with all that we've got. But let me tell you, there are no perfect Christians. Because once we're perfect, he's like, boop, now you're perfect. So I want to encourage you, follow him. Graduates, this should be our desire. That every day we're going closer and closer to him. So that when people see us, they see him. This should be our heart cry, whether you're a graduate or whether you've been alive for long enough to remember the dinosaurs. The bottom line is this. Christ tells us to say, hey, follow me. And our response should be, let's do it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for all that you've given us. Lord, I thank you that you would love us enough for some reason. We don't understand because, Lord, like Peter, Lord, we mess up. So, Lord, I pray today that you would help us to pursue you with the love that we should, that we would chase after you with all that we've got, that when we say, yes, Lord, I will follow you, that even when we mess up, because we will, we get up, and we resume our course. That we would not return back to the ways that we are, return back to our sin. But Lord, help us to live the life that's worth your gospel, Lord. Father, I thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for your grace. We pray these in your name.